Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello, 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 hello. Once again, it's that time of the week, Thursday, 8 o'clock at night, Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, along with Black, the Mike Wright, the Bookie Man. And we are composed of the FSP Crew Show. Jeff will probably be joining us shortly. But until then, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And as always, I say it all the time, is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff, Mike, or me. And without further ado, before I start to get into the show, let me bring in my esteemed co-host, and I'm trying to get my other one here. I don't know what's going on with my computer. Let's bring in my esteemed co-host, Black, my man. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Good to be back, man. Good to be back.
Yeah, you've been away for a while, man. We've definitely been missing you. And we also have on the line, people, my fellow Jersey guy, my man from the north part of Jersey, Jeff, and they always call him the Joker. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Black. How you guys doing?
Joker, what's going on?
Well, you know, guys. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I know it's just a kicker, but I just noticed that Robbie Gould from the Bears is inactive. I have to admit, maybe I would have noticed he had an injury if he was on one of my teams, but I don't think he did. I mean, this is week 14. You need all the points you can get. Gould is usually pretty good, not so much this year. That comes as a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right, Joker, and I've been talking over the weekend about on the FSP show with Victor and also on the Master Plan with Lance Goodman and myself. And we've been talking a lot, like for the last, I guess, last 4 or 5 weeks, that kickers are people too and can give you vital points because you've been noticing lately there's been a lot of kickers. I've been kicking a lot of field goals. Double-digit points are gold with kickers and can help you win a week leading up this week, which is starts for most people's fantasy playoffs.
So, yeah, and I noticed you went in and swooped in and snatched my ticket because I only had $1 left to spare. Shame on you.
Shame on me. In your beast mode? Is that what happened to you?
You just picked up Mason Crosby, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely did. Absolutely
yeah,
did. What can I tell you? You know, Uptown Jangles may be going down this week, and it could be because of the kicker. What can I tell you?
In my best George Costanza voice, you bastard!
Yes, people. For, like I said, for the most part, this week, starts the fantasy playoffs for a lot of teams. And guess what? If you don't win this week, you watch the rest of the teams play in the playoffs because it's one and done. From week one to week 13 for most teams, you've got a chance to lose and pick up that win the following week and hopefully string some wins to help you get into the playoffs. But if you're in the playoffs, you don't have that luxury. It's one and done. That's it. So if you haven't accumulated enough players on your roster to go past the first round of the playoffs and put up a strong team starting from the first round of the playoffs, you're going to find yourself with a woulda, coulda, shoulda and having to wait to 2015 fantasy season to start all over again. That's all I can say from that.
It's a very, very juicy first round matchup in the Palace. As two of my co-hosts go head to head for all the marbles.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jeff. Jeff and I, and I can't remember if we've ever faced off in the first round of the playoffs, happened to be lucky enough to face off in the first round of the playoffs, and I think Jeff is favored in this, from what I understand. But, I mean, it doesn't make a difference because you still have to play the games. You still have to have the players sitting out there. Some of them may beat their or exceed their expectations, and some may not make their projections. So
I'm going to dub this one the Battle of Jersey in the Palace.
Yeah, and I have to double check. I think the winner plays my friend Kyle, also another Jersey guy. So I think that's what the bracket is shaping up like.
Let me credit
to Jerry, because this year we're in two leagues together, and many times I'll think to myself, oh, let me see if this guy's available. Boop, Jerry got him.
I'm not stroking
Jerry, but he's been on the ball, and it's been paying off. So tip my hat to him.
Well, let me put it this way. You know, I almost, because my record was almost halfway through the season, I almost said, you know what, I have no shot of getting in the playoffs here. From what I'm seeing, I was getting constantly beat week in and week out. I hopefully I can do something. And I happened to help string four wins from week 10 to week 13 to get to where I'm at now, luckily. And I hope I hate to say it like this, I hope all my hard work doesn't go in vain, because Joker beat me last time by 1.8 last time.
Ooh.
1.8 last time. And those are the worst kind of beats. I'd rather get beat by 40 points than less than 2 points or less than a point, which I got beat in one of my leagues, I think last week. No, not last week. A week or so ago. 2 weeks ago. By 0.4 or something like that.
I've got to find a way to break up this tri-state area connection. You got Kyle from Jersey, you two guys from Jersey, and the other guy that's the top seed, he's from Brooklyn.
Hey, what can I tell you? East Coast rules, man. What can I tell you? the Northeast, I should say. The Northeast. What can I tell you? But it's all in fun, and let me see, because I was looking at the bracket. Let me see if Jeff is right about that. So we play, Brooklyn Goon Gretzky's. Yeah, I guess that's your other friend, right, Jeff?
Oh, excuse me?
Brooklyn Goon Gretzky's. Is that your The friend?
Oh, no, no, that's Kyle is an old friend. I'm trying to think what the name of his team is. Last year it was the Florida Bowl. Golden Sharks, that's Kyle.
Oh, Golden Sharks plays in the bracket that if one of those two guys went between Golden Sharks and Gold Rush, goes up against Uptown Django's. I have the distinction, or you have the distinction, or pleasure, I should say, unfortunately. Since we're at a 4-5, we have the pleasure, if we move on to the next round, going up against the number one seed. Thank you very much. So it is what it is. This is not going to be an easy road for either one of us, Jeff, because of the matchups that may take place well, this week and then next week to get to the ultimate week, which was round three, the championship. So it is what it is. I think, Jeff, you've been here before. I think you went to the championship last year, didn't you, or no?
I'm trying to think. You know, I hate to say it. In that league, I've had very good records. This is my fourth season. But unfortunately, I haven't won a championship in that league. So that's more important than the record. I mean, you can't get to the championship without a good record. But if you keep winning a lot of games, you don't win a championship. It's like you should say back in the 80s, where's the beef, you know? So but, yeah, before the year, I'm not kidding. I had like a 30-9 record in that league. So now it's time to win one. I feel like the Buffalo Bills or something. and the thing is, you know, it's a 12-team league, I think. The thing is, 6 teams make the playoffs, and the two top seeds get a bye. And I like that a lot because that's worth fighting for. That's important. Sometimes it's a smaller league, but in some leagues, you know, 4 teams make the playoffs, nobody gets a bye. You can be 14-0, and boom, you get knocked out in the first round. It's unlikely, usually, and you do get to play the fourth seed, but I like to get something for being out of first two teams, so that's worth fighting for sure.
Well, it was last year, because I'm looking at last year, and I didn't know that, and I was the one in the who had the consolation. Believe it or not, Jeff, you were 12-1. You came in third. I was 9-4. Came in second, and a team, the Stafford Bulls, which was 7-6, won the whole thing. So anything can happen.
That was his boy, Kyle.
Is that right? The staff portables?
Yeah, that's him. I got to find a way to break up this Jersey conglomerate. Y'all finished top three last year, because you guys are all in the playoffs again this year.
Hey, what can I tell you? You know, it must be something in the water, Black. I'm telling you. You got to come over to what you call the box side. You got to convert to come over, man. I'm a member of the East Coast Jays, or whatever, New York guys, or whatever you want to call them. Come on over to the dark side. You'll be happy you did. Anyway, you know, speaking of the dark side, let's go down to where you live, my friend. You know what? Before I do that, I want to send my condolences to the Brian Burwell family because
Brian Burwell,
I always liked this guy. This guy was a real honest guy, real good guy, and I never realized that the last time he was on the news reporters, or I forget what they call that name, the sports reporters
on ESPN.
Yeah, with Mike Lupica and company, was in September. Never knew that he was battling cancer from then, or before then, I guess, up until now. The guy was young, man. I'm 60 years old. He was 59. And it doesn't make a difference what age when the cancer hits, it's a shame. I've had a lot of people, not a lot of people, quite a few of my family pass away from that dreaded disease. And you never like to see anybody, regardless if you know them well or not, to go through the ordeal of, and quite naturally, the family dealing with the family member passing away or going through the ordeal, battling cancer, and then eventually succumbing to it. So my condolences to the family, the relatives of Brian Burwell, mother, and I think he only has a daughter, and hopefully sometime in the near future, and I know everyone says this, that we can find something that will say, oh, remember when people used to die from cancer, and that'll never happen again. So, because we find a cure, I'm going to give it to Black, and then Jeff, and say what you want to say about Brian Burwell or whatever else.
one of my good mentors, man. I met him down here a couple of years ago. He let me be his Facebook friend. I inboxed him a couple of times. I actually tried to get him on the show, but I didn't realize that all this was going on, and that he was trying to, keep his illness hidden because he didn't want anybody to worry about him and stuff. So I guess that's why we finally lost contact. But this is definitely a tough loss for sports journalism field and for the entertainment, the TV sports part of it as well. This is a tough loss. And as I scroll down my news feed, a lot of guys like D.A., Wilbon, Whitlock, everybody expressed their condolences today. It was good to see that. Everything was heartfelt today.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff?
Wow. I got to admit, I had no idea. This is the first I heard of it. And like Black said, I guess he, for whatever reason, and there's nothing wrong with it, he was trying to keep it private, and that's, his right. And, it's a shame. I pay more attention to sports reporters during the football off season, because usually during the football season, on Sunday morning, I'm paying more attention to fantasy and whatever. But, that's usually when I get up Sunday morning, that's usually what I watch when I'm having a cup of coffee or whatever. And it's a shame, needless to say. And he was a good contributor to that show. And, Another tragedy, and what a shame.
All right, let's move on to one of the things I wanted to talk about, down in Black's neck of the woods, where it seems like this thing gets the drama just keeps on building up and adding on to, and who knows where it's going, but. A report from a Michael David Smith did it today about in ProFootballTalk.com says Jay Gruden wants RG3 gone. Washington coach Jay Gruden thinks RG3 cares more about his personal brand than about learning to become an NFL quarterback, and as a result, Gruden wants Griffin gone from the franchise. That's the word from Jason Reed of the Washington Post, who reports that Gruden feels strongly that the franchise must part ways with Griffin. Gruden benched Griffin for Colt McCoy not only because Gruden believes that's the right thing for the franchise this season, but because he believes Griffin is not and will not be the long-term answer. That Gruden believes Griffin is fundamentally lacking in the kind of pocket presence an NFL quarterback needs, and that Gruden thinks Griffin makes decisions off the field that are motivated by, in quotes, enhancing his brand, rather than by improving as a quarterback. How dead set against coaching Griffin is Gruden? So much so, according to the report, that Gruden may have come up with an exit strategy even faster than Mike Shanahan did if owner Daniel Snyder and general manager Bruce Allen refused to trade Griffin in the offseason. In other words, Gruden may be at the point where he's given Snyder and Allen an ultimatum. It's Griffin or me. Ultimately, whether or not Griffin remains in Washington beyond this season will be Snyder's call. It's, after all, his football team. We quite naturally know that. And Snyder has never been a hands-off owner. But if Snyder isn't willing to part with Griffin, he may have little choice but to part with his head coach again, which means the situation in Washington, which looked late last season like it couldn't have gotten any worse, has indeed gotten worse. And that was Pro Football Talk.com earlier this evening, and I just saw something on RotoWorld that said there's a real chance RG3 makes more starts. Like I said, this gets crazy. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports there's a real chance Robert Griffin makes more starts this season. Schefter reports comes the same day the Washington Post reported Coach Jay Gruden is done with RG3, like I just read, and wants him gone for 2015. If RG3 is forced back under center for more 2014 starts, you can bet the order came from the top and owner Daniel Snyder. Although we think more valuation of RG3 would absolutely be the right call, Snyder's meddlesome ways continue to make the Redskins the most dysfunctional pro sports organization this side of the Raiders. Jeff, I read two articles, one saying that he's done, the other one saying he may get back on the field if the owner pushes him. What's your thoughts?
Well, Snyder obviously called the shots, but, I mean, the thing is, doesn't he watch the games? And Griffin came into the league, and, you know, everybody knows Redskins gave up, what, 3 first-rounders and a second-rounder for him. And first year, got off to a slow start, finished very well. And now, looking back, it makes head coach Mike Shanahan and his son Kyle, the coordinator, makes them look smart because they adapted that offense to fit the skills of Griffin. But unfortunately, he hasn't developed like they had hoped. And, you know, when that happens, and then, you know, there's tons and tons and tons of criticism. But, you know, I think any star NFL player, we're talking like big-time stars like Brady and Manning and guys like that, all, you know, I think all those guys would say, you know, a lot of these guys have a lot of stuff going on off the field. But if you don't take care of business on the field, nobody's going to care what product you're pushing on TV. And that's the way it is. You got to get it done.
Black.
You know, I'm in Washington. I smile every day when I cut on the radio and hear all the local sports stations talk about RG3, this, Gruden that, Bruce Allen this, Dan Snyder that. As a Cowboy fan, I sit here, I have a joyful glee on my face because this has become daily radio here for the past, I want to say, at least 2 or 3 months, going all the way back to the preseason. This has been daily radio here. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check out the Rolling Stones article, but in the Rolling Stones, they had the top 15 worst owners in sports. And you can guess who was number one. It was numero uno.
Is that right, Daniel Snyder?
Mr. Snyder, yes, indeed. This whole situation, I saw the Pro Football Talk article came out about 6:30, I believe, maybe 6:20. I didn't see the Roto World one, but it's definitely a mess. I don't know how this is going to get handled. If Gruden thinks that he's going to strong-arm his way and have seen his way, you better think again to look back to what happened to Shanahan. You got to play him. The owner wants him out there, so you got to play him. If you don't want him, see if you can just walk out and get your check on the way out. But it's a bad situation down here. Bad situation. It's not only coming from Gruden's side, because there's a lot of scuttlebutt about the D coordinator as well, Haslett. But the thing is, with Haslett, Haslett's defense is it has a lot of plays, and you need players to run that system. He doesn't have the players to run it. So passes is also catch and flex.
Well, let me ask you something here, Black. If you have a Super Bowl winning quarterback when you had Shanahan for a while there, and Shanahan's pretty much going through the same thing that Gruden is going through right now, benching him and getting an ineffective play, whether it's because he's healthy and he's just not playing up to par, or because like last year when Shanahan was there, they deemed he wasn't healthy enough to protect himself and to play to a high level last year, and he exited, and then you bring in a coach that's supposed to be for the most part has been a very good coach, especially toward quarterbacks. Just look at what happened to Andy Dalton last year. He had a career year compared to what's going on this year, which he's not. He's up and down. He's very inconsistent. Plus, they run the ball a lot more because of the limitations Andy Dalton has. You got two coaches that are supposed to be very good coaches toward quarterbacks that had issues with RG3. And if it walks like a duck, if it looks like a duck and it acts like a duck, then in my opinion, like a lot of other people, it is a duck. So if it's not Shanahan, if it is Shanahan, and it is Gruden, and then whoever other coach will come in here, and they still have the same issues, well, there's only one common denominator that's in these two coaches right now, and that's RG3. And if this owner cannot see that, then that Rolling Stone article, that Rolling Stone list, is right on point. Because the fact is, you got two coaches that know how to coach quarterbacks, and this kid is regressing. He's not progressing. And he got benched two seasons in a row. And this last report from Adam Schefter saying there may be a chance of him getting back on the field and playing again? Come on, man. Come on.
This whole thing is crazy. My whole thing in this whole situation is that you traded everything that you had that was valuable to you to get this.
Right. Guy. Right.
And you come in as rookie season. You know the type of quarterback he is. Right. You install the read option offense. You go 10-6. You go to the playoffs. Why do you change the offense for this guy who doesn't have the pocket presence, the pocket awareness? Why do you change that whole thing up? Why not keep going towards his strengths instead of going to his weaknesses? I just don't understand.
Well, let me pose this to you.
You go all the way back to elementary school. You're trying to put a circle into a square peg. It doesn't work.
Right.
Do what works for me and let him try to progress that way and gradually over time throw in some plays where he can try to work on pocket presence. You don't have to do read option and try four quarters. You can mix and match them. But don't just go away from the guy's strengths and have this guy do it with all his weaknesses, and then all his weaknesses are exposed week after week because you won't play to his strengths. And this is what you get.
So you think it's the coaches? Because that's what you sound like. It's the coaches. But or is it the ownership fault for getting the type of coaches that have one system and won't go to the system that plays to the strength of the quarterback?
I mean, at the end of the day, you got to look. Every coach sits down, he assesses his personnel, and then he installs a game plan to tailor to his personnel. That hasn't been done. I see Gruden throw in RG. Oh, he's not running my system right. I seen him throwing Cousins. Cousins look good for a couple of games. Throws picks. Oh, he's not running my system right. Throws in McCoy. McCoy looks good for a couple of games. We all know that's not going to last. I saw Steve Young say, hold up fast on McCoy. He might be the answer. Please, Steve Young. McCoy is not the answer. I wish he wouldn't even have made a statement like that. They got to tell it to the team's strengths. And right now, the coaches aren't doing that. They're trying to force a circle in the peg, and it's just not working.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go to a commercial break real quick, and then we'll come back. Because we can go round and round with this, and I don't think it's going to be resolved until the end of the season, and we'll see whether Gruden stays around or if RG3 is going off to greener pastures somewhere else. Who knows? He may even wind up in Philly with Chip Kelly, if Chip Kelly's still there, because I think they're trying to get him to some other college. But we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back from this commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back when we'll talk about – oh, man, come on. Don't do this to me. Talk about something else here. Here we go. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Thanks a lot. Nope. All right, we won't go to the commercial break. Anyway. Let's do what am I talking about here? Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Speaking of Chip Kelly, he made a reference today, in fact, that Chip Kelly was this little article here. Let me read this article real quick about Chip Kelly. And supposedly he may be a candidate for a college job. And with Jim McElhinney agreeing to become the coach of Florida, which they reported, I think, yesterday that Chip Kelly was supposed to be interested from the school in Chip Kelly. This is his quote: "I'm just not a candidate for a college job. I don't think our pro offense will work at the college level." That was the reverse of a question asked last year when Kelly left Oregon to become the Philadelphia's coach. Kelly has answered that question by going 19-9 in his first two seasons in the NFL, several times in the past two seasons, most notably with Texas last year and Florida this year. Kelly's name has surface in connection with a college vacancy. "I get agitated because it's totally false. And then I see written that if they called, I would hang up on them. I never said that. That's the things that bother me. I would never hang up on any school. I've got a ton of respect for Florida. We've got three Florida players here. I think they've got a heck of a football coach. That really bothered me that someone said I would hang up. If someone called me, I would gladly tell them I'm the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm excited to be here. We've got a big game against Seattle. I have a great respect for Florida and what they've done. I visited Steve Spurrier when I was at New Hampshire. They were great to me. I spent a lot of time down there with Urban Meyer when I was at Oregon. I think it's a great school, blah, 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 blah." All right. Why do you think? Now, Chip Kelly has been in the NFL. This is going on the second season. His record is 19-9. Okay, has shown no indication and no inclination to leave the NFL. Why do you think that his name, and I think it's just a thing is media-driven, if anything, and I don't know why the media keeps on jumping on Chip Kelly. There's 31 other coaches that could be asked to be put in play for a team that in college that's got a vacancy for a coach. Why Chip Kelly?
Yeah. I was wondering the same thing, but maybe they think he's one of these, Lou Holtz kind of guys who likes to move around a lot. There were a lot of doubters about Kelly, but he has been able to be successful with that offense in the NFL. I was more surprised when I saw today that Nebraska fired Bo Bellini with a 9-3 record. I mean, I think these Nebraska fans and boosters, alumni and whatever, they're going to drag themselves into the 90s. They're living in the past. And believe me, there's no guarantee whoever they bring in is going to win as much as Bellini, and then they'll be even more miserable. That was ridiculous.
Black, what's your thoughts?
Man, everybody's in love with the it thing right now, and Chip Kelly is the it thing in the NFL, so of course colleges are going to look at him. You know, Florida's looking to get back to those glory days, Spurrier, and the fun and gun offense, and that's what Chip Kelly's offense resembles, so I wasn't surprised his name was brought up, but I do support to have Jim McElvain from Colorado State. You look at him, his background, he's a Nick Saban disciple, so I definitely see big things in store for Florida.
Okay. Well, I want to also talk about this because I have no idea, and I've been trying to figure this guy out for at least half the season because of the things that have been going on. Now, we talked about, I think it was last week or whatever, we talked about how Marshawn Lynch got fined with the combination of not talking in the Super Bowl and not talking in one of these last recent games, $50,000 apiece, which totals up to $100,000 for not talking to the press. The last two press conferences that he attended in the last two games was the first one. The only word he pushed out of his mouth for the most part was yes or yep, yep or yeah. And the last one was nope, 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 or very short and really not conversational type of responses. Now we hear that all the turmoil that's been going on with Marshawn Lynch, that he's thinking at the age of 28, soon to be 29, that he may decide to retire at the end of the season.
Wow.
You didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about that.
No, this came out a few days ago. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports Marshawn Lynch will consider retirement following the season. He's contemplated walking away after the Super Bowl last year. And I think the fact is he likes playing in Seattle, and he thinks the Seattle Seahawks will cut him in the offseason because of his inflated salary and his desire to rework the locker room around Russell Wilson. Lynch may make the decision for them, but one way he may keep playing is if offensive line coach, and he's really got an attachment to this guy, and it's an offensive line coach. It's not even his position coach. It's offensive line coach Tom Cable gets a head coaching job. The two are extremely close, and Cable loves the power run game. And quite naturally, like I said, Lynch will turn 29 in April. So if Cable happens to get a head coaching job, then there's a strong chance that Lynch may walk away or request a trade to wherever Cable goes. Otherwise, if he doesn't get a head coaching job and it looks like Seattle may cut him, that if they cut him, then more likely if Cable gets a job, he'll go that route. 28, 29. Now, this is not unprecedented for a back that is Lynch's age that hasn't hit the 30-year-old mark to have a sharp downward turn, a la Sean Alexander, a la Clinton Portis, and I'm trying to think of some other ones, but those don't come to mind real quick at the top of my head. So Lynch, even though he's still in beast mode at times, I think he hasn't scored in the last three games or something like that. So I'm thinking this, that I wouldn't be surprised because he marches to a different drummer than a lot of other people, just like a lot of running backs do. But he's a very reserved guy, especially toward the press, because the fact is the things that may have happened to him when he was in California. and the press misrepresented a lot of things he said. And so he's really leery of the press. He doesn't like talking to him at all. Thoughts? Marshawn Lynch deciding to walk away from the game, not even at 30. Black.
That's surprising to me. If he does walk away, I mean, happy trails to him. Same to the rail up there in Seattle, but wow, I'm still trying to digest this.
Jeff.
I heard about and read about him talking about the possibility of retiring or moving to a different team with Tom Cable. It's not too surprising. Lynch seems like his own man. I think it's ridiculous about the fines, about not wanting to talk, because you see an NFL coach, to avoid the fines, Belichick, of course, gets up and basically says nothing. And you know what? Lynch, he's not going to waste the reporter's time. And it's hard to believe that the Players Association would agree to something like that, because there have been athletes in the past who you know, chose not to speak to the media. I'm trying to think. Art Monk might have, or maybe it was just he said so little you never heard about it. And a lot of people think that made him wait a lot longer to get into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, you got, you know, over 50 guys on a football team. You get all kinds of personalities. Not everybody's a big talker. And, you know, a lot of people also, if they're getting misquoted and misrepresented, they say, well, forget it. I'm just going to concentrate on playing ball, and everybody else can worry about the other stuff. The thing is, you know, with NFL running backs, it's not just the age, it's the mileage. And Lynch has had – he's excellent running back, of course. He's had a lot of miles, you know, all these tough carries between the tackles. And that's – you know, and then, of course, when a team is successful like Seattle, then, everybody's got to get paid, and then they have to make the tough salary cap decisions. So – Lynch very well could be a salary cap casualty because Wilson, I think his contract is up this year, and you know, he has a modest salary, but he's going to get paid big time. And I think Lynch is originally from Oakland, and they seem to like players, especially running backs, past their prime. Sadly, Maurice Jones-Drew has looked very bad this year, and it's probably close to the end of the line for him. I don't know if Lynch is interested in playing for Oakland because, you know, they're a laughing stock. But, I sympathize a little bit with Lynch.
Okay. Well, I find that absolutely – well, I think – it's not surprising because, like I said, he marches to a different drummer, and he's a reserved guy that doesn't like to be bothered with the press, and he's not the first and last one to be like that that's going to play in the NFL. All right, let me get to this because I really want to get your guys' thoughts on this. The Texans placed outside linebacker Jadeveon Clowney on injured reserve with a right knee injury ending his season. Clowney is undergoing surgery, the severity of which the Texans aren't revealing. It's like a mere cleanup procedure. I've heard this one before. This guy has been injured, and it's time to clean it up. Coach O'Brien words on Thursday. The big concern is that it's Clowney's second right knee operation since September, but Clowney has extreme youth. He's only 22 in February, and world-class athleticism on his side. Quite naturally, Clowney's rookie year will go down as a four-game, zero-sack disappointment, but he still has much upside as any defensive player in the league. Contrast to J.J. Watt, who's having a defensive player and MVP player of the year award year season, Clowney is in the exact opposite direction. Your thoughts? Is he a boom, or is he a bust, or the jury stir out on Jadeveon Clowney? Black, And then Jeff.
Well, I think the jury is still out, but I also heard the name Dr. James Andrews, and that could never be good.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, he still has next year, and I assume the year after, to prove that he's legit. The thing is, the guy drafted as high as him, the bar is also set very high. Unless he's a Pro Bowl player every year, everybody's going to say he's some kind of bust. I do remember the Texans asked Spurrier, you know, about him, which, you know, every team does that about a potential draft pick. And I think it was Spurrier who told the Texans when they asked that Clowney's work ethic was average. That doesn't sound good. You know, that really doesn't. And the thing is, you know, most of the great players are hard workers. You know, maybe some of them didn't have to work as hard in college, and that's something that some guys have to adjust to. And this surgery might, you know, be a difficult rehab, and you know, hopefully, you know, he's up for it. And I think the Texans thought, everybody thought, if they could have him and Watt on the same line, there's no telling what they could do. I mean, it would be practically historic. But first, they got to get him healthy and get him in the games, and if he can get it together, it would be very impressive.
Okay. All right. Now, let's get down to business here. All right. We got about 12 minutes left in the show, give or take. And I want to talk about this because we very rarely talk about a game. But this is an important game for both teams fighting for playoff spots, more important one for one team than the other, because of the position they are in the division. They have a better shot than the other team of winning the division, in my opinion. Talking about the game tonight, Thursday night, we're going to go with the Chicago Bears hosting the Dallas Cowboys. And Tony Romo coming off a horrendous week against the Eagles last week. On Thanksgiving, and hoping to rebound and play a hell of a lot better than he did last week against the Eagles, and are second in the division behind the Eagles because of that loss. And with the Chicago Bears having to win to keep pace with the Packers and the Detroit Lions, and also with a shot to get into the playoffs. Black, I'm going to go to you. And what do you think are the keys to this game for a Dallas Cowboy win?
All right, give me 2 seconds. Let me grab this Alka-Seltzer before I go into this. It's not the month of December, the month that I always dread. I don't know what we have to do tonight. Chicago has embarrassed us on Thursday night contest before. I was worried about this game, especially worried that we coming back off the Sunday night performance, been a Turkey Day game, and now another Thursday game on top of the London game. I don't know what the NFL is doing to us, but hopefully we don't have bad as a December slide as we used to. It looks pretty cold out there. I'm looking at the game right now. We got to play defense. Our defense has to hold. We have to try to stop these receivers. We got to try to stop Forte, but as everyone knows, our defense is not too strong this year. We've been getting by with a strong offense and keeping those guys off of the field. So we can't sustain some drives tonight. It could be another long game, but hopefully Romo and the guys and clicking on all cylinders tonight, and we right this ship and try to get back into this playoff race. Because after this one, we go back to Philly next week. The schedule is not lighting up at all.
Your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, I think a lot of people thought the game tonight it's going to be a shootout. And so far, towards the end of the first quarter, it's still 0-0. But they got plenty of time. This might be like one of those boxing matches when early on they're kind of feeling each other out a little bit. I want to elaborate a little on something that Black mentioned. I don't get NFL scheduling.
Okay.
You know, last year I noticed the Jets had a Sunday night game and then played on a Thursday, and that surprised me a little. And I'm not a Jets fan, but I thought it gave them an unfair advantage, and it didn't make any sense. I mean, bad enough you got to play on Thursday, but, you know, you should be coming off a 1 o'clock game. And then, boom, they did the same thing earlier this year with the Saints from Sunday night to Thursday, and Sean Payton said something about it, and he's absolutely right. It is unique that both the Bears and the Cowboys played a week ago on Thursday, so that might make this a better-looking game than some of these stinkers we've had to watch. But then another thing I've noticed with the NFL scheduling, like Dallas played Philly on Thanksgiving, and then they're going to play each other next week. That's too soon. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. I don't think they like it either. I mean, it must be harder for the players and the coaches to game plan when you're playing the same team, you know, 2-3 weeks later, and that seems to be on the rise. You know, it's the NFL. Almost every team is the primary tenant in their building. I think the Raiders are the only team that has to share with a baseball team, and the Giants and Jets share with each other. So the stadiums aren't an issue. They you know, have no trouble getting stadium dates.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is the same thing that that Richard Sherman was clowning about in his little press conference after the game, talking about the NFL is concerned with player safety. Well, why would you schedule these games like that?
Well,
that was rhetorical.
you guys both know why. I mean, it's all a mighty dollar, and it's a, you know, quite naturally a contradiction in terms. You talk about one side of their mouth are talking about player safety, and another side, a team has to play, like Jeff was talking about, on Sunday, or even on Sunday night, which is worse, and they come around and play on a Thursday. That's ridiculous. So, which way is it? Is it player safety or the almighty dollar? And you know which way the not-for-profit organization is, the NFL, is going to side on the side of playing the game and getting more sponsors and getting more revenue. That's why Mr. Goodell, in all his glory, garnered a $44 million salary last year. And speaking of Roger Goodell, we got about a little less than 7 minutes left in this show. Let's talk about Ray Rice and the debacle that we had talked about before about Roger Goodell suspending Ray Rice, and then, in essence, suspending him again because of and basically, I'm thinking it was a PR move. They realized that maybe they didn't punish him enough when they first gave him the 2 games, but they couldn't change it because they gave him 2 games. But then they realized. Then they decided, well, this is the best time when the second video came out and actually saw the act on film. That game, pretty much, they thought that was an excuse that they could take it a little further, and they suspended him indefinitely. Well, it came about that the judge, the arbitrator, decided, no, you can't do that. Even though you made a mistake, you can't go around and just arbitrarily re-suspend the guy. Basically, that's what he did. If you had originally in the first place suspend him indefinitely, then I could side with you. But because you decided it was 2 games, and then when from what everything I'm seeing, I'm talking about the judge now, everything I'm seeing in black and white is that Ray Rice was honest in what he said to you, told you completely what happened, didn't lie about anything, and you're saying that he wasn't totally truthful about it, but from what I'm seeing it is, now you want to suspend him a little further because now you've got public opinion on your side because the video came out and you thought you could justify it. Well, it didn't work that way. Now Ray Rice is reinstated, and it's up to a team, whether this year or sometime next year or in the future, in the near future, to pick him up. What's your thoughts, Jeff, and then Black?
Yeah, I'll tell you, not the first time. Goodell looks like an absolute buffoon. And I'd be surprised if, I don't know what kind of contract he has with the owners, because that's who he works for. It's not the players. I'd be surprised if they bring him back. And the thing is, thinking on your feet can be difficult at times. He didn't have to. He had time to sleep on it. He had time to research. He had time to consult with advisors, which is what almost any powerful business person or government person would do. And it doesn't seem like he did any of that. And it's hard to believe this man is a lawyer, but he has very little understanding of due process. I just don't get him. And he's a very unsympathetic character. But, you know, besides the Rice and the Peterson issues, he also messed up the bounty gate, and nobody's perfect. But this guy, for $40 million, I mean, he's a clown. I don't understand.
Just because you make a lot of money, I always say this, just because you make a lot of money, don't make you smart. Go ahead, Black, talk to me.
Yeah, I knew the double jeopardy was going to get struck down. I just feel bad for Ray Rice in this situation. The man did everything right. Then they had the interview with NBC today, and he comes out, yeah, the NFL gave me a script to read. Yeah, the NFL just needs to stop meddling, do that business. Goodell, don't be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Get someone else on your staff to do that. You just handle league business and leave it at that, man. God, I don't even think he's going to catch on. I don't even think he's going to catch on with the team this year.
Well, yeah, you're probably right about that. I wouldn't doubt it. And now we go to the Adrian Peterson debacle, which he's getting an appeal hearing, and Troy Vincent was recorded by Adrian Peterson and to have said that the time that you are away from your team on its commissioner's list will be used as time served, and you're being reinstated. Basically, I'm not saying it verbatim, but you'll be able to come back after you resolve. your legal issues. And true to Roger Goodell's form and the NFL, as soon as he resolved his legal issues, it said, "No, we didn't say that you're going to be reinstated. In fact, we're going to suspend you." And under the personal conduct, what's your thoughts on what's going on with Adrian Peterson? I'll go to Black and Jeff before we get out of here.
I mean, where is he now? He had a court case the other day, didn't he?
He was in his appeal process a few days this week. Troy Vincent was supposed to testify today as to what he actually said. And what his part was in this agreement, one way or the other. And I think after that, that they're supposed to have, I guess, get a decision rendered by arbitrator Harold Hennessy. And supposedly settlement talks have occurred, but it's possible that one side or the other was emboldened by the first day of testimony. So they may have had settlement talks, But I guess the process of this is the second day. Today was the second day. They had two sessions. One was, I think, either Monday or Tuesday, and the other one was today. And then I guess after that, like I said, a resolution is going to come about, but who knows how soon that's going to be.
This is crazy, then. It's crazy because I don't believe he wasn't indicted for beating his son, was he?
No. They came to a plea agreement. And he had, it was a misdemeanor.
He needs to hurry up and get back there. Bill's not realizing that running backs last in the NFL not long. You're keeping these guys out for nothing because of PR moves, because of media. You might have a little backlash for a little while, but once the football gets to play, the money will start coming back in. You can't hold these guys out this long, man. I hope Peterson's able to get back on that field. I hope this process isn't too long, and I hope they stick by their word that this time that he's away is time served, and they'll try to tack on extra games.
They did that already. Now he's fighting that, so we'll see what happens. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, the thing is, Peterson, I mean, he was very wrong, but the court system took care of it. You might not like it, but it's not up to the employer to pile on. And I don't like what Peterson did, but the court decided to give him a break, and that's it. You know, you got to respect that. And, you know, if I got in trouble for something, you know, it wouldn't be something like that, but let's say if I got in trouble for something in the court, let's say, gave me leniency and whatever, or whatever the case would be, my employer would, I don't think they would have any right to say, oh, well, you committed this misdemeanor, has nothing to do with us. Oh, now we're going to suspend you or do this or do that. It doesn't make sense.
Right. All right, guys, we come to the end of the show. In fact, we are running over a little bit, but that's okay. We've done it before. We'll get your closing thoughts before we get the hell out of here and watch some football. Talk to me, Jeff.
Well, I'm glad the Giants game didn't come up. They had a horrible collapse against an even worse Jacksonville team. The Jets found a way to lose on Monday. And probably this has got to be one of the worst combined seasons for the Giants and Jets in many, many years.
Yep. Yep. All right, Black.
Oh, man. Come on, boys. We got to get this win tonight, man, to stay in the hunt. I'd like to shout out my Wizards, man. Even though the Lakers are trash, I got a lot of flack from Lakers fans yesterday before the game, and I can't find any of these cats, man. Wizards are rolling in the East right now. We're looking very, very good. I take my hat off to the Baltimore fans, man. Losing Markakis and losing Cruz, that's going to be a rough season in Baltimore coming up.
Yes, it will be. Yes, it will be. And with that being said, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. Good luck in your fantasy playoffs. Good luck, Jeff. I don't really mean that, but good luck, Jeff.
Jerry, I hope you win all your other leagues that I'm not in you with. So that sounds good.
Okay. With that being said,
battle for Jersey. It's officially on.
Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your fantasy playoffs. Hopefully you'll come out on the positive side and you'll continue to the next round. This has been Black, Jeff, and myself. We comprise the FSP crew, and we are out of here. See ya. And with that note, I can't start the music because of what's going on with my board. So we'll do this. We'll just cut the show like this.
Yep. Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.